Buddha, Siddhartha, the Sangha. It's interesting, if you needed any proof that we are all really one Sangha and we're all going together, you would just have to talk to a bunch of you like some of us monks did yesterday, and you see everyone saying basically the same thing in their own context, and people asking this same basic question, each person in their own personal context, and they have no way of knowing the extent to which it's the same theme that they're sharing with other people. That theme that's really showing itself, and it's true both of the younger and the older people, has to do with a purpose for living, really. And I just want to say something about living and purpose for living. And first I'll start by talking about living for a second. Your training is about how you live your life. And you can live your life as if it is just transitory, and you live one kind of life, or you can live your life as if it's as if everything in your life has its root in eternity. And you live a very different kind of life if you live your life in that way. The way I was speaking of the transmission yesterday really emphasized the eternity aspect of things, which is the real root of things. Why River Master named her book, her first book, Zen is Eternal Life. Why would she do that if you think about it? It's a really, not doesn't promote sales, that kind of title. In fact, her original publisher, Random House, really wanted her to have a different title, so she came up with Selling Water by the River, which is a kind of a catchy, zen-y kind of name. But as soon as the Abbey did its own publication of the work, she changed it to its original name, Zen is Eternal Life. And if you realize that everything you do and say think in this lifetime has a relationship to eternity, you take your life very seriously and you live your life very wholeheartedly, and the precepts are very important to you because you don't want to die in a state of confusion about your relationship to eternity. The way I was talking about transmission yesterday with the capital T is entirely emphasizing the eternal aspect of it. This body and mind is transitory. This is nothing in itself. It's just a vehicle. It's nothing in itself. Nothing I achieve, nothing I do has any meaning apart from eternity. But if it's rooted in eternity, then it has a meaning, even though it is only transitory. The meaning has to do with the merit that will enable a person, if they really train deeply, to release into eternity fully at the time of death. And not to be swept up into shadows and dreams and carried along by shadows and dreams, and to live and to perpetuate existence in this kind of shadow and dream illusory world that most people live their lives in a world of fleeting relationships, false refuges. People spend great effort in their lifetime trying to have a secure old age. They don't realize that old age itself is inherently insecure and fleeting, and there's no, people seek a kind of heaven in their old age when they should be focusing on eternity. Training themselves so at the time of death, the dewdrop slips into the shining sea. there doesn't need to be a me anymore. And there's no security in the me. The security is in the eternal. In a way, I'm really talking about, not just in a way, I'm talking about what could be called higher opposites, life and death, enlightenment and unenlightenment, self and the eternal. There is no self, there's just the eternal. Enlightenment and unenlightenment don't matter. Life and death don't matter, as most people think of them. Our true life is unborn and undying. When you truly meditate, you go to that place. You take refuge in that place within you that is unborn and undying. Many of you are experiencing relationships that have been a refuge for you, other jobs have been a refuge for you, other things have been a refuge for you, all of a sudden being very shaky, you know, and they're revealed not to be a refuge at all. They're not a refuge. If you don't find it in your own heart, you're not going to find it. Other people are not a true refuge for you. A career is not a true refuge. External achievement and activity isn't a true refuge. Pleasure isn't a true refuge. Feelings are not a true refuge. There's nothing wrong with any of them. It's not despising any of these things. Just with regard to eternity, they won't do it. The way you train in relationship to all these things matters very much. But as goals in themselves or refuges in themselves, they're ephemeral. And I wouldn't do anyone who I love a favor by encouraging them to think that external things can solve the problem of suffering. They can't. Only the eternal, your true refuge, can solve the problem of suffering. Beings go from, pass through birth and death into, you know, into Bardo realms, back into birth and death. This flow of greed, hate, and delusion continues on until someone says, I've had enough. I want off this merry-go-round. And I'm willing to pay whatever price I got to pay to get off of it. Plain and simple. I give my life to getting off the merry-go-round of birth and death. By getting off the merry-go-round of birth and death, I don't mean one despises birth and death. I mean one recognizes that suffering will just go on and on. The wheel will just roll on and on unless one stops it. And that stopping that rolling wheel of birth and death takes everything you've got. You can't do it half-heartedly. If you've survived till you're into your old age or you're on the threshold of old age, well, you're a very fortunate person because, you know, most beings don't, you know, statistically, most beings don't survive that long. About 1% of salmon ever come back to the stream they were born in to reproduce. And that's probably in a very good year, by the way. It used to be that most people didn't live, you know, past about 30. So if you have some remaining years, you know, consider your relationship to eternity. And don't spend your last years fretting over external external relationships, external things. The love that everyone so longs for, it isn't born, it doesn't die, it's not going anywhere. people can't give it to you, they can't take it away from you. And the more we seek it in external things, the more frustrated and empty we become. The more we suffer. The more we turn within and find within our own heart what it offers us, the more full our life is from within. This is just another way of saying the same thing I was talking about yesterday. Remember I said, from my point of view about the transmission now, the way I see it now, I was born into the transmission and I'll die within it. That's what matters. This doesn't matter. This body and mind is not the true refuge. It's transitory, it's fleeting. It's subject to decay. I can make good use of it to train myself now, to do something about the causes of suffering, to do something about the illusory refuges. But if I try to make it a refuge, or any aspect of a refuge, it all comes apart, inevitably. Why this is a religion we're teaching and practicing. It's not psychology. It's not social science. It's not humanism. It's not Western liberalism. It's not communism. It shouldn't even be called Buddhism because it's not an ism. It's not a way of life. It is going to the source directly, rooting yourself there, giving yourself wholeheartedly to it. Here I am, do with me as you will. My life is your life. My true life is your life. My true life is the life of the eternal. Then you'd think, well, you know, and many people make this mistake, some really sincere contemplatives make this mistake, think that then, you know, you just kind of become remote and unconcerned about the world of the impermanent. But the answer is really not that, but it's compassion. One has compassion for the realm of the impermanent, and for all those who live within it and don't know that there is a true refuge. One has compassion. Compassion naturally arises.